You open your Bible, please, to Psalm 73. And Psalm 73, verse 1 to 28, we're going to read it all. It says, Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to men. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. In the evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven. In their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, I will speak those, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, you see these people here, Lord. Just pray, Father, that you speak to them, to each one of them, Lord, individually. That you speak to their hearts, Lord, and that you speak to their minds, Lord. Let your word be spoken this evening, Lord, and that you help us, Lord, to understand your word. And you be glorified, Lord, and honored by the things that are said. And let your truth, Lord, be come out. Only your words. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you start in verse 1. It talks about, it says, Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And it talks about the quality of God. Surely God is good. You know, so many times we just read it and we say, you know, surely God is, you know, God is good. And yeah, God is good. You know, you fall asleep reading this verse, but you know, really, God is good. It's a character of God. It's who He is. God is good to those, to Israel, and to those who are pure in heart. Something that goes along with that, I have in, if you turn with me to 2 Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Let me see if I can find it. 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles, come on, all right, here you go. Chapter 6, verse 41, I'm going to read to 7, to chapter 7, verse 3. It says, Now arise, this is Solomon speaking after he had finished the temple, and then he's dedicating the temple to God, and he says, Now arise, O Lord God, and come to your resting place, you and the rank of your might. May your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your saints rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great law promised to David, your servant. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. And all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple. They knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground and they worship and give thanks to the Lord saying, He is good and His love endures forever. That's the picture that is right here. You know, here's come the glory of the Most High and He consumes all the burnt offerings and all the priests, you know, they use at all of all His glory and they just fall down and they say, The Lord is good and His love endures forever. And this is what is talking right here. God is good. This is the root of this psalm. But it begins that God is good. And this is in verse 1. And then in verse 2 to 3, it talks about his problem. You know, this man is struggling with something. And he says, But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he got envy for the arrogant. He got envy for the wicked. And a few verses that I look at is in Job 5 verse 2. It says, resentment kills a fool, and envy slays the simple. And in Proverbs 14 verse 30, it says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. In James 3:16, it says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So this guy, this is his problem. He got his envy, the wicked, and he sees all the prosperity that they have and all the things that they have, and he says, I'm envious. This is his problem, and it almost caused him to fall. He says, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. So this is his problem. And how many of us are struggling with that tonight? I don't know, some other time, we envy other people. And it's dangerous. He almost fall, he says. I almost fall, I almost slipped. And it describes the wicked. He says, why does he envy them? In verse 4 to 12, it describes, why does he envy the wicked? What is it that he envy the wicked for, you know? And he describes it in verse 4 to 12, he says, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burden common to men. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. He describes all the wickedness. And in verse 12, he says, this is what the wicked are like. Always carefree. They increase in wealth. So, you know, he's looking at the wicked and he sees all these things. They are healthy. They're strong. They have a lot of wealth and they're proud because of that. They don't struggle as common people do, he says. And they, you know, he envies that. He says, I want that. And one something that I thought about is that when we envy, other people look better than we are. Other people, they always look better than what they really are. You know, he describes how the wicked, you know, they have no burdens or no struggles. And that's because he's envied them. You know, how many times we go to school or we go to work or something like that, and we see the unbeliever pulling in the driveway with a nice car, with a nice stereo. He gets out of the car with his nice clothes, you know, his nice shoes, because he's been working all the time. And, you know, we maybe went to do some camp work or something. And we had no money, we had the same old shoes and the same old pants, and, you know, someone was riding our bikes, and, you know, we look at that and we say, man, this guy had a good, man. I mean, look at, he's strong, and you see him because he goes to the gym, you know, he comes out like that, and walking around, and you say, wow, man, you know, this guy had a good, you know, he's enjoying life, and he talk about, he goes out and with girls, and he parties all night, and he don't go to bed, and he, you know, he enjoys life. He say, I have pleasure, man. You know, I don't live for Christ like you do. And we look at them and we say, wow, really? He got a good life, man. He had it good. And that's what envy does to us. We look at them and we say, they got it better than we do. We think they are better than they are, but they're not. Well, you see, this is something that envy does to you. So this is describing from verse 4 to 12, it describes the wicked from the world's point of view. This is how the world views the wicked. This is how the world looks at the people who are having fun, who are cheating, who are stealing, who are getting ill gain. This is how the world look at them. They say, man, they got wealth. They don't struggle at all. I mean, they live in peace. I don't see them. I don't see their conscience being bogged by all these things, you know, because we see them with all their wealth and stuff. This is the world point of view. And from, moving on in verse 13 to 14, I call it the pity party, you know. He says, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. Doesn't that sound like us? Surely, man, I'm just gonna go to church and, man, I'm gonna listen to this boring guy. Man, surely I got it bad. Surely. Look at that guy, he got a nice car and I don't have anything. And, man, surely I'm just working like a dog. Just in vain. Just for nothing. I have the old, same old house, the same old shoes, the same old things. No, he says, surely in vain. I've done all these things. Well, he's looking at it from this world point of view. You know, beware of that. You know what you're doing tonight? You listen to me. And that's the most foolish thing that you can do in the world. They look at it and say, you come to listen to a 20-year-old guy from a book that was written, I don't know how, thousand years ago, you know, and you're gonna read the old stuff and you're gonna say that applied to my life? It's crazy. It's vain what you do. You come and you give money for the offering. You're giving money away? What you doing? You don't know what these people are doing with your money? No? This is, beware of that. When we look at life. And from, moving on, is from 15 to 17, is when he understands, when he looks at life from a heavenly perspective. And he goes on and says, well, anyways, before this, I want to share the, principle in verse 13 to 14, is that when we envy, our situations always look worse than what it really is. It always look worse. You know, maybe you envy the Bible of the person at your side, and you say, man, I got this old Bible, look at that. You know, the pages are coming off, and look at that guy had that shiny Bible and stuff, and my Bible, it isn't as thick as his and stuff, and you know, when we envy, our situations become worse than what they really are. You know, this guy, he's saying, you know, he did good things. He kept his heart pure, and his hands were washed in innocence. I mean, I want to do that. But you know, and says, you know, all day long I have been plagued, I have been punished every morning because he envied. And he's like, all these things just became like a drag. He became a victim, you know. There are two ways to look at life when you suffer. You suffer and you look at yourself like a victim, or you suffer and you look at yourself like, God is teaching me. God is building my character. One of the two, and this guy is saying, you know what? I'm suffering. I got it bad. I'm a victim here. Moving on, in verse 15 to 17, he says, if I had said, will speak those, will have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of God, and I understood their final destiny. Another thing the envy does is oppresses you. He says, I was oppressive. You're oppressive yourself. You are oppressed by envy. Because you think you got it bad, and other people got it better than you. Because you say, I've been oppressed, and this guy has it good. But he says, until I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. And that's how we had to look at life. That's how we have to live our lives every day. We had to look at life from God's perspective. We had to enter his sanctuary and look at all situations. Look at the wicked guy from God's perspective. You know, he has an eyes. Look at them from God's perspective. Look at yourself from God's perspective. Each one of you. What are you in God's perspective? Are you just a piece of flesh that you fell from, I don't know, your mother's womb, and you're just here just for nothing? No. You have a purpose. You're here for a purpose. Each one of you. From God's perspective. And this is how we view the wicked from God's perspective. In verse 18 to 20, it says, surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. That's how we have to look at the wicked. You know, without God's point of view of the wicked, we don't know what's going to happen to them. We don't know what's going to happen to you. We don't know the long term in the future. But he says, God is going to cast them down. He's going to place them on slippery ground. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. That's the truth of the wicked. That's the truth of people who don't know Christ. They're going to be cast away. They're going to be destroyed. They don't have it better than you. They don't even have a reason to live. They don't have a reason to wake up in the morning. They think they live for themselves, but it's going to be over pretty soon. You know, according to this, they're going to be destroyed. So that's how we have to look at life. That's how we have to measure people. We have to measure them from God's perspective, from God's point of view. We have to live our lives daily. You know, without God we have no hope. Without God we have no reason to be here. Without God we have no reason to live pure lives. Without God we have no strength, no reason really. No hope. We're just here. You know? But anyways, there is something that goes along with that in Psalm 37, verse 1 and 2. If you want to turn there, Psalm 37. Verse 1 and 2, he says, do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. They will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. That's the story of mankind. We live, we die. You know, like it says in Ecclesiastic, we like, it's like animals. We just die. You know, he says, do not fret because of this. Do not fret because you think wicked people have it better than you. You know, he says, do not fret. They're going to die. It's like the grass. You know, it's here today in the winter. You don't see it. It's dying. You know, like a flower dies in the winter. It just lasts for a little bit. My flowers doesn't last that long. I don't know why. But anyways, and then he says, from verse 21 to 22, he talks about what envy did to him in the long run. What envy did to his heart. He says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Envy is a serious thing. You know, we sit here and we say, hey, I'm never going to envy. I'm a spiritual guy. You know, I've been walking with Christ 40 years now, 30 years. I'm never going to envy, but it can happen to you as anybody else. You know, it can surely happen to me because I'm young, but, you know, for you old people, you know. It says, my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered. I was senseless and ignorant, brute beast. That's what we are when we envy, a brute beast. That's how he compared himself. We have no sense. We are ignorant. We are embittered and we grieve because we desire the things of the world. We say, oh, we want all these things. I want all that car and I want that house and I want that Bible. I'm gonna get that guy when I get out of here, man. I'm just gonna punch him up, you know. But that's how we are, you know. We are senseless and ignorant because of envy. But then, in verse 23 to 26, he describes life from a heavenly perspective. He describes his relationship with God. He says, yeah, I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. Even in his ignorance, even in his senselessness, he was a brute beast, and God hold him